A very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 22. Acts 22, and we're looking at verse 12 down to verse 21. Acts chapter 2, verse 12 to 21. We'll be looking on the topic, we are saved to serve. We are saved to serve. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 onwards, that by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now I trust these are verses that we are familiar with. The fact that we are saved by grace, salvation is a gift of God. We know that. But are we also familiar with the verse that comes after? Because verse 10 then goes on to tell us that we are His workmanship. Basically, He has this idea that we are His work of art. He has personally crafted each and every one of us. And every workman that crafts his workmanship has a purpose for that. Right? Every artist has that. Whether you are a carpenter, you build a piece of furniture, it has a purpose. You are a potter and you mold the clay, again, for a purpose. Whether it is to produce a vase, a cup, whatever it is that you have crafted, there is a purpose behind that. God says we are saved by His grace. That means by His loving favor, He grants us, He gifts us salvation. He gives us a new life in Christ. And He describes this life that you now have as like a work of art. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now, what is the purpose of that? Why has He saved us by His grace? Why has He given us this new life in Christ? He says, unto good works. That is the purpose to which He has saved us. That is the reason why He has extended this grace so lovingly and free to us. Because there is a purpose to which He has crafted us. He says, it is unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, that we should walk in these good works. You see the beauty of this relationship here? That from the very beginning, before the very foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1 talks about how we were predestined, elected unto salvation. And there is a purpose behind that. It is not so that we can just squander away the life after that, thinking that, well, after all, I'm on my way to heaven. There is nothing that will take salvation away from me, and so I can enjoy life and do whatever I want. Well, that is not the thinking of a true believer. A true believer would look at what Christ has done for him and know that what a great gift. What a precious salvation. What an invaluable thing that has been done for me. Now what shall I do for the Lord in return? And God then teaches us, He says, you were crafted for a purpose. Go and do good works. Go and live for Christ. This is what God has called you to do. This is what He has before ordained, that we should walk in them. This is not to say that that is what we do to earn our salvation. We are not talking about salvation by works here. We know we have already been saved when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what this teaches us is that now having been saved, now that you're already saved, well, what is it that we should do with our life? Well, the answer is clear and simple. We are saved to serve, meaning that we are saved so that we can serve the Lord, so that our lives can be of use to the Lord, so that we can bring forth good works, that our lives will now be useful to the God who has saved us. That is what the Bible shows us continually throughout Scripture. In our passage for this morning, we are looking at Acts chapter 22. And in Acts chapter 22, Paul is giving us a testimony of his call to service. It is something that had happened by now about 23 or 24 years prior to this, to Acts chapter 22. Meaning to say that he is recounting something that had happened years and years ago. And now he had already been serving the Lord for 20 over years. But the fact that he repeats this testimony here, and he will be repeating his testimony later on in a few chapters' time as well, well, it shows us that this was a most pivotal, significant event or time in his history. It is something that he constantly looked back at. It is something that never left his heart and his mind. And it is something that was precious to him, constantly reminding him of his need to serve the Lord. And we have been looking, right, at the book of Acts over the past many, many months. And we have seen everything that had happened to him. All the struggles that he faced. All the persecutions that he had to endure. That was not an easy 20 years at all. Not the least bit. But did that cause him any amount of regret at all? Did he look back with disdain, scorn, or regret at what had happened to him? Not a single bit. In fact, he shares this testimony with joy, with excitement. It was his way of explaining to the Jews that were before him as to why he had been doing all the things that he had been doing. Right? He was now standing before the Jews that wanted him dead. These were the men of the Sanhedrin Council. These were people that had authority over the Jews. And they were just, prior to this, ready to kill him before God brought the Roman soldiers to come in and intervene and to, well, arrest him in a way, but in so doing, that he would be protected. That was God's means of preserving his life. But instead of just, going off with the Roman soldiers, thinking, okay, I'm safe now, he asked for permission to address the Jews one final time. And so that is what Acts chapter 22 is about. And what he wants to do now is to explain to the Jews, and through this, to share the gospel with them, and to testify to them that, God is real. That it is a living God that he is serving. And that this God is the God that has called him to serve him and to do all the things that he's been doing. And so he's trying to explain to them, right? Why have I been willing to do all these things? Much to the aggravation of the Jews. The Jews are not happy, by and large, with the gospel that he was preaching. But nonetheless, he persisted in it. And it was to the extent where they now wanted to kill him. Right? So he was putting his life in danger for this cause. And he explained why. Why is it that he has been doing that? Why couldn't he just have lived a life of quietness and obscurity? I mean, if he had just remained silent, all these things wouldn't have happened to him. He wouldn't have been in this danger. He wouldn't have been persecuted. He wouldn't have to spend time in prison. He wouldn't have to be whipped numerous times and stoned. And left for dead, all these things would not have happened if he had just quietly received salvation and then maintained a low profile. But he didn't do that. He served the Lord. Why? Because he understood that the reason why God saved him was so that he could serve. Was so that he could go out and share the gospel to be a witness for the Lord. And it brought him to where he was at this point of time. Standing before the Jews who are ready to kill him. And at the end of this chapter, you see that again. They will cry out and say, it is not fit that he should live. Verse 22. They basically say, he deserves to die. He needs to die. And mind you, Paul was a Jew himself. He was once a Pharisee like them. In fact, he was probably one of the rising stars amongst the Pharisee world. He was trained sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, one of their chief teachers, disciple of their chief teacher, Gamaliel. But yet, he stands before them. He testifies of the truth And then they say he's not fit to live. What drives a person to do that? To so faithfully labor for the Lord 20 over years, and now at the threat of his life, he continues to serve. He persists in doing that which the Lord wants him to do. It's because he took the calling seriously. He knew, he understood why God wanted him to serve, why God wanted him to do the things that he did, so that he can serve the Lord. And so as we look at this passage here, from verse 12 down to verse 21, we want to see two aspects, right, of this calling that he had. And I would say that that is the same callings that we also ought to have experienced in our own life. Because perhaps you may look at this and ask, well, all right, so I serve, but how, where, what shall I do? The Lord has an answer to that as well. If we would be faithful to discern his will, I believe all of us all should have this impetus, this desire within us to serve the Lord. Firstly, we describe it as a general call. There is a general call to service. And that is something that every believer ought to have understood. It may not come necessarily as like how Paul experienced a light shining on him, blinding him, as he experienced on the road to Damascus. But if we study God's word carefully, we know that we are all called to serve the Lord. So we begin from verse 12, and you know, we know what happened prior to that, right? We had, it was quite a number of weeks, actually, last year that we last were in the book of Acts. But what happened was we considered Paul's testimony of his salvation, of how the Lord had appeared to him on the road to Damascus. The light shone, he was blinded. But as he spoke with the Lord, he understood that this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom he had not believed in. He was, prior to this, persecuting Christians. He was on his way on a mission to Damascus to kill Christians. But then Jesus appeared to him and said, hey, I am God. I am real. And the message of Christ is that I am the Messiah, whom all the Jews have been waiting for. So he understood. And his first question, as everything clicked in his heart and his mind, was, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He acknowledged that Jesus is his Lord, and now he must live in according to what God wants him to do. So he asked that question. At that point of time, God simply told him, arise, go to Damascus. Just carry on your journey, even though you're blinded now, you just trust me. You go there and you wait, and I will send someone to you. That someone was a man called Ananias, verse 12. He was described as one devout according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. So he was a man of reputation. He was well known among the Jews, and perhaps, or probably, right, some of the Jews gathered before him would have heard of him as well. And that's why Paul described him in such a manner, a devout man according to the law. He was one who kept your traditions, the Jewish law. Right? He was not just any stranger. He was someone whom you perhaps once upon a time trusted. And so God sent this man Ananias to come to be the means by which Paul would receive his sight and would receive the calling to serve the Lord. So Ananias came. Okay? And he came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. So that's what happened. And we'll describe that moment as the time in which he was welcomed into the Christian community. Right? He had been saved already on the road to Damascus, but he had been waiting. In the meantime, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 9 that he had been praying. He had been spending time communing with the Lord, but up to this point of time, he was alone. And then now Ananias comes and he says, Brother, I welcome you. You are now numbered amongst one of us. Even though many of them were still very apprehensive of Paul. Right? Because what was he here for? You remember, he was there to arrest Christians. And now Ananias is welcoming them into their very group. Would some of the Christians in their midst be afraid? And he says, is this a double agent? Is he pretending to be saved so that he can come here and expose all of us and then we'll all get into trouble? They were apprehensive. But Ananias was sent by the Lord. And he was sent for a specific purpose. To tell him that now your life must be a life of service. And that's what he went on to say in verse 14. And he explained to him, he says, the God of our fathers have chosen thee. And who is our fathers? Well, the Jews. The God of the Jews. This is the God of the Bible. He has sent me to tell you this, that he has chosen you, that you should know his will and see that just one. And who is the just one? That's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, that righteous one. He says, it was God's will that you will be chosen by him, that you will see the Lord Jesus Christ as he had just seen on the road to Damascus, and that they will hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. So that was the general call issued to the Apostle Paul, telling him that now that you have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, you know who he is, you are now saved. But your calling is to go and be a witness unto all men, or to everyone everywhere, of everything that you have seen and heard. And in a nutshell, I mean, that's what it means to be a witness, isn't it? An eyewitness. What is an eyewitness? A person who has seen something, right? So if there's been a crime that has happened or an accident, and the police will issue the call, any eyewitnesses, please come forward. Anyone that has witnessed the crime, anyone that has seen what has happened, now you are a first-hand, a person who has a first-hand account of that incident. So he says, come forward and give your testimony. That's what it means to be a witness, right? That's what it means to give a testimony. It's because you have been a first-hand witness of something that has happened, and therefore you give a report. You give an explanation. You tell, well, this is what I saw at this time. Well, I saw this person. He looked like this in such a way. How tall, wearing what clothes, and what did he do? He went in. He showed a knife, he showed a gun, so on and so forth, right? That's what a witness would say. Because I've seen it, no one else has seen it, I have seen it, and therefore I can give a credible testimony, a report of what had happened. Now, in a way, all of us are called to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is something that we have all been called to do. Now, yes, Paul had a very unique vision, in a sense that he saw Christ, and Christ spoke to him, telling him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, that was his voice that he heard, and he witnessed directly things that he had seen and heard. And then after that became his message. But all of us have also received the Lord Jesus Christ in our own unique way. Whatever it is, however it was, that the Lord had guided you to come to the understanding of the truth. Now that becomes your witness. All of it invariably will have the contents of the gospel that someone shared with me. Or I read the verse, I read a tract, I read a book, I heard a sermon telling me of the fact that I am a sinner in need of a savior. Telling me that if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I can be saved. And by grace, God moved my heart, helped me to understand this, and I confessed of my sins, I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my worldview changed. Now I understood the truth. Now I have a desire to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. That's our witness. And so we use these two words interchangeably, right? To witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, to testify for him. Well, that's what it means. All that you have seen and heard, you now tell and share. And as we grow in the knowledge of the Lord, well, what are we witnesses to? We witness the Word of God and the work of God transforming our lives. And that becomes our witness as well. As we live for the Lord, we show Christ in our lives. We show by example and by our words what it means to be a savior, what it means to follow Christ, what it means to live for Christ. I mean, basically, that is what Paul was called to do. And that's why I describe it here as a general call. Because yes, while it was specific to him, it is not only Paul that is called to be a witness of all that he has seen and heard. No, all of us are called to be witnesses of all that we have seen and heard. We have seen God working in our hearts and in our lives. We have heard the Word of God, read, explained, taught. We have witnessed, we have seen and experienced God's Word working in us. And now you go and you share that with the lives of the people around you. Is that not the great commission that has been given to all believers? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. We have been called to do that. Acts 1, verse 8. This is what the angel told the disciples, but also by extension all believers, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We have all been called to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that a call that you have heard, you have received? We do not have to wait until it's a very specific or personal call. It is something that every believer should understand. Remember, as I mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2, you are his workmanship. What are you created for? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And your good works is that you be a witness for him. That you live a holy life for Jesus' sake. Why? Of course, yes, in obedience to God, but so that we can be a living testimony to the people around us. And every opportunity that we have, we tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. That is your witness. So that's the general call. And then coupled with that was a call to action. We saw, okay, yes, I know I ought to be witness, I ought to serve the Lord, I ought to do this and that, but when? And then the next line in verse 16 comes to us, and he says, and now, why tarriest thou? What does that mean? What does it mean to tarry? It's an old English word to mean to wait. Why are you waiting? Or what are you waiting for? In other words, that's what, you know, Ananias was saying here. What are you waiting for? Why delay? Don't delay. You go and be a witness of all that thou hast seen and heard, and you do it right now. Right now. And perhaps that is something that we all need to hear as well. Because we talk about being saved to serve, and to an extent I trust we all agree. Yeah, okay, it's good to serve the Lord. We should serve the Lord. When? No better time than now. Why wait? And it's a good question to ask, isn't it? What are you waiting for? Waiting for the stars to align? You waiting for the perfect time? It's never going to happen. Yes, there's always going to be things in our lives that will call for our attention, make us busy. And yes, in different times of our lives, there are different areas of service that we ought to concentrate on. And for a season, yes, it could be your studies. That is the way that you testify for the Lord. You work hard at your workplace. You be the very best possible son, daughter, in time to come, husband, wife, parent to your children. These are different roles that we play and different things that we do in the midst or in the course of our service to the Lord. Now, these are all our service, but, well, why tarry in the sense, well, don't delay. Whatever it is that is your task at hand, you do it to the best of your ability, not for yourself, not because of personal ambition or pride, but you do it for Jesus' sake, because that is your witness. Don't tarry, don't delay. And if you know that the Lord has called you to do something for him, to serve in a particular area in church or in a ministry, to testify for the Lord, there is a call to action here. You see, Paul had been waiting and praying for the past 3 days. From the time that he arrived at Damascus, he was waiting. He didn't know exactly what, but he knew that the Lord would do something. And so finally the time came, Ananias came and told him what the Lord wanted him to do. But then Ananias also told him at that point of time, don't wait. Yes, you may be new, and you may have just recently been saved, and yes, there may have been many questions that you need answered, and they will be in time to come. But he says, right now, get up, arise, go and be baptized. And that's really the beginning, isn't it? And after we are saved, what must we do? Baptism is the public confession of our faith. And for Paul, it was important. You remember at this point of time, he was well known. He was famous as being Paul, or rather Saul, the persecutor. Saul, the one who is going out of his way to arrest and put Christians in prison and haul them before the Sanhedrin so that, well, maybe some of them were being killed. That was his reputation. He was known. And Ananias tells him, no, now that you know Jesus, you must serve him. You must call upon the name of the Lord. You must call upon Jesus and publicly witness to everyone around you that you are now no longer that killer or murderer of Christians. You are now a Christian yourself. And you now serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You now acknowledge him as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, how do you do that? You be baptized as a public confession of your faith, as you publicly announce to everyone that I know that I was sinful. I was the chief of sinners, as he will later share. But now my sins have been washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is unashamed to declare that. And that's what baptism for him would have been. It was something that he needed to do. And it's something that all the Christians would have needed to hear about. Yes, Saul the persecutor has been baptized. And now he wants to be known as Paul. Not that he got a new name, right? But this was now the Greek name that he adopted as he went out to serve and preach amongst the Gentiles. So he will now be known as Brother Saul, Brother Paul. One of us, one who has received the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that all of us, if we are saved, must not delay to do, must not be afraid to do, to be baptized, to publicly confess of our faith before God and men, that yes, indeed, we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are saved. And the question comes to us also, why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for? Sometimes we ask, you know, why? You've been a believer. You've come to church for quite a while. Why are you not yet baptized? And people will have different explanations. Oh, I don't feel ready. I'm afraid of what people may think of me. Oh, you know, I face objections from maybe my family or my parents or whoever it is in my life. I'm afraid to commit. I'm afraid that, you know, if I get baptized, maybe I have to give up this or give up that. Really, what holds us back? Many of the times it is the fear of men. Or perhaps we are honest with ourselves and we know that there are besetting sins in our lives that we do not want to give up. And again, the question is, why tarriest thou? Why are you delaying? Why do you not want to give up those sins? Why do you not want to publicly testify of or confess of your sins? And to demonstrate to everyone that, yes, I have been washed and saved and cleansed, and Jesus is my Savior. Why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for? Why are we still waiting? And so Paul, of course, he answered the call. He was waiting, yes, up to that point of time because he didn't know exactly what it was that he was supposed to do. Now Ananias gave him very clear instructions. Go and wash thy sins and be baptized. And yes, he was. And he was. He went from being a persecutor, a killer, a murderer of Christians. He was now baptized. And then he started serving the Lord. And he started serving the Lord as an evangelist, going to preach the gospel wherever he could. And the same be said of us. If not, what are you waiting for? You say, I've been baptized many years ago. Well, are you serving the Lord? Are you witnessing for him? The people in your lives, have they heard of Christ? Do you know of some loved ones, family members, colleagues, friends, that you come into contact with, you spend a lot of time with, but you never shared with them this most important truth. You never told them about Christ. Why tarriest thou? Is there somewhere that the Lord wants you to serve? And perhaps you have heard the call, or you have had a sense that, yes, indeed, the Lord is drawing you, calling you to do certain things for Him. Now what stands in your way? Why tarriest thou? Have any of us been hearing the call to full-time ministry, perhaps? And we have sensed that call that the Lord wants us. The Lord wants us to put aside any earthly pursuits, jobs or studies or otherwise, and go and enter into seminary, Bible college, and serve the Lord in a full-time capacity, to be a missionary, a pastor, an evangelist. Why tarriest thou? What are we waiting for? And that was the question that Ananias posed to Apostle Paul. And of course, we thank God that he did not tarry. And he did not tarry for the rest of his life. Because as we have seen in the past many chapters of the book of Acts, his life was a testimony of constant service to the Lord. He kept on going, on the move from city to city. And even after he was chased and hounded and forbidden to preach, he never tarried. And it is he that wrote those words that becomes the theme of our year, redeeming the time, making sure to make full use of every time, every opportunity that the Lord has given to him, to make the most of his life, that he will serve the Lord. He will serve the Lord. And that is what he did. He did not tarry. He did not wait any longer. He answered the call. And Ananias said, go, be baptized, call upon the name of the Lord. And he did that. He did that. How about for us? The general call comes to us. It is a call to witness for the Lord. It is a call to action. Will you wait any longer? But perhaps we may ask, now, I don't know exactly what the Lord wants for me. What is it that the Lord wants to do with my life? And while we look at the Apostle Paul, and it seems that, yeah, it seemed to be very clear, but we realize actually it was not necessarily so, and at least not from the very beginning. We realize that it was actually over a period of time that God began to direct him more and more specifically. And so the second thought that I want to have here is that there will be the specific commission. There is a general call. And there's a general call to say, you must serve the Lord. And that is what we must, in general, commit our lives to doing. But we also know that at different points of time, in different phases of our lives, the specific things that God wants us to do for him will be different. Right? And so for Paul, it was not always the exact same thing. If you look at the timeline of his life, he will spend time, firstly, in Arabia, and that is told to us in the book of Galatians. And then he will go down to Jerusalem for a season, but he will not stay there. And then it was only when he was at Jerusalem that the Lord would direct him to say, go and witness to the Gentiles. And you know, he did not begin or commence his missionary journeys until actually many years later. You know, it's not that he plunged straight into mission work. No, he did not. Yes, he was going around sharing the gospel at different places for a season of time. Before finally, Barnabas welcomes him, invites him over to Antioch. And then from Antioch, they are being sent on his first, second, and third missionary journey. And so what we see from Paul's testimony here is that it was over a period of time that God began to reveal to him more and more, as he grew in his faith, as he grew in his spiritual maturity, exactly what it was that God wanted him to do. And we ought to be able to discern that in our own lives as well. Generally, we must have that sense and that calling and the impetus to say that, yes, I will want to serve the Lord, wherever it is that he has called me to. And that will be the things that you start to do in your life. You start to want to live for Christ. You start to want to bear fruit for him. Right? You start to want to share with every opportunity that you have. But over time, what we will realize is also God will show us. Where is it that he wants us to serve? How is it that he wants us to serve? Why he wants us to serve in a specific area? that he has called us to. So for Paul, what happened? And he goes on to explain. It came to pass that when he was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and God appeared to him and said certain things. So if you're trying to sort of piece together the timeline of his life, of course, this is given us in a very, very brief overview and summary here. Right? Paul had a limited opportunity to have the attention of the Jews, and so he didn't want to give every little detail. Right? But if you piece together in his writings, you can see, right, exactly what happened. In Galatians chapter 1 is a good starting point. Right, Galatians chapter 1 verse 15, he shares a similar testimony. He talks about the salvation that he received. Right, he called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I may preach him among the heathen. Right, this is Galatians 1:15. And he says, so immediately what happened was that he did not confer with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So there was a period of time. 3 years here, we are not told exactly what happened. Seemed to be a time where he was communing with the Lord. Perhaps he was taking time to come to terms with everything that he had now recently understood. Because all his life he had been a student of scriptures, but he had understood it wrongly. He had not interpreted the Bible correctly up to this point of time, right? He had thought that Jesus was nothing but a fake, a charlatan. But now Jesus says, no, I am real. And God appeared to him and showed him. And so clearly now by faith he believes that Jesus is true. But well, exactly how does that tie in with all of the Old Testament that he is so familiar with? So he took time to come to terms with all these things. And you know, he spent time here in the desert in Arabia to commune with the Lord. So for a period of time he did that, and then he returned to Damascus. And then after 3 years, right, then he came to Jerusalem to see Peter. Perhaps it was also a time that he needed to prove that he had changed. Right? Because if he had rushed to Jerusalem straight away, many people would have viewed him with a certain amount of skepticism. Even after 3 years, that was still the case. But at least he had 3 years to prove that he had not been doing that in the past 3 years. Okay? So it was only after 3 years that he went to Jerusalem, and that's what he is describing here in verse 17. Right? That when I was coming into Jerusalem, as I prayed, and this is what happened. So it took a while. It took a while for him to have further direction as to exactly where the Lord wants him to serve. And in a way, you can say that these 3 years were time, years of preparation, where the Lord was showing him, directing him, right? Having him to first establish in his heart the right understanding of the Word of God. And that is important also, right? When we say, yes, we are called to serve, true. But it doesn't mean that we just rush into whatever service that we feel like doing. You may say, yes, I've been called to be a teacher, perhaps. That doesn't mean that, okay, I'm saved. Now tomorrow I want to teach Sunday school. No, we can't. There are certain things that we have to take time to prepare. Certain things that we have to take time to come to fully grow and understand, mature in the faith, before we can do certain things for the Lord. And so Paul's calling, yes, was to be an evangelist, but not straight away. Yes, we are told in the book that straight away he preached Christ. And he did begin to share Christ, but not in a formal capacity as an apostle of the Lord. Now that took time. That took time. Okay, so the Lord will slowly reveal to him where is it that he wanted him to serve. And so perhaps initially he thought, well, let's go to Jerusalem. And at Jerusalem, that's where the apostles are before me. And perhaps that is where I can serve the Lord. And we are told that he did that. He did that. Right? He went to Jerusalem, and we are told that while he was at Jerusalem, he actually did, serve the Lord for a period of time. Right? You can see that back in the testimony in Acts chapter 9, verse 28. Right? Acts 9, 28, he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. So for a season, he did stay at Jerusalem, and perhaps he did make an attempt to share with the Jews there about his testimony and about his calling and things like that. But we realize that that was not God's calling for him. That was not where the Lord wanted him to be. Instead, God told him, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. Now again, we see that sense of urgency, right? Why tarriest thou? Make haste, get quickly out of Jerusalem. So while he was at Jerusalem, God told him, no, this is not where I want you to be. This is not where I would like you to stay, because I have work for you elsewhere. Does not mean it was wrong for him to go to Jerusalem. It was important that he established that contact with the rest of the apostles, that he acknowledges that he is together with them and he's not a separate, different, distinct religion. There will be the Jewish church and the non-Jewish church. No, that was never the intention. And so he went there. Right? But God explained to him, why? Why is it that you have to get out of Jerusalem? Because they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. They're not ready to hear you yet. Because, well, for one, the Christians, they're afraid of you. They're still afraid. They don't know what your intentions are. And Paul goes on to acknowledge that. He agrees, right? Jesus told him, yes, they will not agree, they will not receive your testimony concerning me. And then Paul replies and he says, yes, I agree, Lord, that they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on me. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And that's what happened way back, right? In Acts chapter 7, chapter 8. Stephen preached that sermon, and then the Jews were angry. They ran after him, stoned him. He was there, he witnessed. He had heard everything that Stephen said. He didn't say anything against that, and he agreed. Now, while he did not personally participate in the stoning of Stephen, he said, I was consenting to his death. I agreed with everything. And he watched. And they sort of, you know, took away their outer garment, their jackets, their raiment, left it at his feet, and then ran after Stephen to pursue him, to stone him. He said, I was there. And I was privy to all these crimes. And he said, I himself, yes, they know that I went to all the synagogues and I arrested Jews, I imprisoned them, I beat them. He was well aware of his past. And so he knew that at this point of time, not yet. Yes, eventually he will visit Jerusalem a number of times. All right, but he says, at that point of time, yes, it was sensitive and it was not wise for me to remain in Jerusalem. I mean, he could have insisted. He says, no, no, I am safe. I have a wonderful testimony to share. I should stay here. This is where I can be very effective. No, he didn't insist. He didn't push. He just followed the Lord. And that is what answering the call of the Lord means as well. It means that we will be sensitive to his direction in our lives. It means we will wisely consider all the factors. And we ask, now, where is it that Lord wants me to serve? Where can I be most effective for him? And he heard the voice of the Lord speaking to him. Now, of course, not all of us will have that very specific, or, you know, sort of very personal direction in that God speaks to us. No, that is no longer how God communicates, generally speaking. God communicates to us through his word, right? And that is what was happening here, right? It was the word of God that came to him. And he says, while I was in a trance, while I was meditating, I was praying in the temple, I was close to the Lord. And that is how we hear the voice of the Lord. That is how we receive the specific commission as to directing us, where is it that God wants us to go? He was close to God. He was reading God's word. And so with that, God directed him. And God showed him, no, it is not Jerusalem. That is not where I want you to go. Because they are afraid of you. Right? And that is, again, what we see in Acts chapter 9. That when he came to Jerusalem, when he tried to join himself with the disciples, they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was the disciple. Acts 9:26. But it was only through the intervention of Barnabas who took him and brought him to the disciples and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and how he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. It was only that he could sort of join in, but still there was a certain degree of apprehension. Who are you, Paul? Are you really one of us? And so the Christians were not comfortable with his presence. And the Jews also. Right? Because he had just been one of them, and then now they would feel that he had betrayed them. You had turned against us, and why should we then listen to you? Okay. So it was clear at the point of time that it would have been very difficult for him to continue and stay in Jerusalem And therefore, verse 21 tells us, and God said unto me, right, this is Paul recounting, depart, for I will send you far hence unto the Gentiles. And that actually was something very difficult for Paul also. Because you remember, all his life he had been with Jews. And to him, the understanding was that God's word is for God's chosen people. The Jews are the ones that are to receive the gospel. They should be the ones, right? Because they are the ones awaiting the Messiah. You remember how Peter had the struggle about eating unclean foods, and how he had to be pushed by God to go to the house of Cornelius to share the gospel with him. Now, we are not told of the similar struggle for Paul, but it must also have been something that would require a certain amount of faith to follow and to carry out. But yet he did that. That was God's direction for him. Your calling, yes, is to preach to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And so that is how God commissioned him to be primarily a mission to the Gentiles. That's why we see that, right? Throughout his missionary journeys, where did he spend all his time? It was in the non-Jewish areas. Yes, wherever city he went to, there were the synagogues, and he would preach them to the Jews, but he would also spend time preaching to the Gentiles, meaning the non-Jews. Right? So he spent a lot of time in Asia, Asia Minor, and then across to Europe. And these will be the modern-day equivalents of Turkey and Greece. Right? That will be primarily where he spends the time in his first, second, and third missionary journeys, all around the Mediterranean Sea and in Turkey and Greece. And that is where the Gentiles were. But it took a while. It took a while for him to come to understand this very specific commission that God had for him, telling him where he was to go, who he was to speak to, why. Why was not the Jews? Why was not Jerusalem? And why it ought to be in the places that he was called to go to. And the same should be for us also. Where is it that the Lord wants you to serve? And at different points of time, it will be different, right? Because for Paul, he would spend time in Damascus, spend time in Jerusalem. And then we are told now that after this, right, in Galatians chapter 1, again, coming back to that account in verse 21, he says, afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. So that becomes where he would serve the Lord for the next number of years, right? He will return somewhat to his home area, right? Paul of Tarsus, and that's in the region of Cilicia. Okay? So it will be around Damascus and further north and further to the west. And he will sort of spend time there just as a small evangelist, right? Going in around the areas, testifying of the Lord. But yet, that will be years of relative obscurity. Before he returns, he then goes to Antioch, and that will be quite a number of years later. And by then, Antioch had become a large, well-established church, right, in the city of Antioch. And it's from there that he will be sent together, firstly with Barnabas, on his missionary journeys, right? But it will take a while. God will show, guide us. But on our part, what must we do? We must be, of course, ready to serve, answering the general call. And we must walk close to the Lord, as we saw him doing. That he was in the Spirit. Right? He was there in a trance. He was meditating in the temple of the Lord. And that is where the Lord spoke to him and directed him as to where to go and what to do. It was never about what Paul, I want to do. It is what the Lord had commissioned him to do. Do you have such an experience and a testimony? Now, personally for me, when I answered the call to the full-time ministry, I was very young at that point of time. And at that point of time, all I knew was I wanted to study God's Word. And that was in 2005. Now, 16, 17 years ago. And all I knew at that point of time was I wanted to serve the Lord. And my understanding at that point was, well, probably, most likely, after I finish and I graduate from Bible college, well, I will serve the Lord in my church, which is where I grew up in, Calvary Pandan BP Church in Singapore. But the Lord had his ways, and he had directed me at different points throughout the years that followed to different places. Soon after my graduation, the Lord directed me through my senior pastor, Dr. To, and he asked me to go to Perth for a season. But that was a short-term thing where I was there in and out for a few months at a time over the space of about 2.5 years, filling the pulpit for a church, for BPCWA, the Bible Presbyterian Church in Perth in Western Australia, because they were facing certain problems at that time and there was no pastor. But that was not a long-term thing, because I knew at that point of time that, well, it was not the Lord's will for me to stay in Australia, but to return to Singapore. And so after 2.5 years, I got married to Serena, and then I moved back to Singapore. And, well, at the point of time, again, well, I felt that, you know, the Lord's calling for me was to serve in my home church in Singapore for a season, a period of time. Again, I did not know at all that one day the Lord would call me to Sydney to move again and bound to Australia to another city. But, well, again, what did I just continue to do? To serve the Lord however I could in different areas. And I thank the Lord for those years of experience where the Lord directed me and guided me to serve in different areas of ministry in the churches in Singapore. And it was only by now 4 or 5 years ago that the Lord then more specifically directed me. And how did I know in all these different seasons? Well, the Lord did not appear to me as he did to Paul in light, blinding me or speaking audibly to me. But through different things that happened, primarily through the Word of God. As I read through my daily devotions, through times in which I was preparing, you know, Bible studies and messages, the Lord spoke to me, directed me and showed me and guided me and made it clear. This is where the Lord wants you to be at this point of time. And then at another juncture in my life, well, that is where the Lord wants me to be at another point of time in my life. And again, the future, while the Lord knows, is still not yet fully known to us. Could it be that the Lord calls me to somewhere else in the future? I don't know. Could it be that the Lord would like me to continue to stay here for the rest of my life? Again, I don't know. But what we must be is that we are sensitive to the leading and the direction of the Lord every step of the way. Because the Lord will always have a specific commission for you at a specific point of time in your life. And so for Paul, it led him, right, to Arabia, to Damascus, and then to Jerusalem, and then away from Jerusalem, to Cilicia, to Syria, and then on his missionary journeys, and now back to Jerusalem. Right, because at this point of time in Acts 22, when he's speaking, he is in Jerusalem. And he knew that the Lord's will for him was to return to Jerusalem, to be arrested, and then to be sent to Rome. That was his journey. And in all this, he was fulfilling the general call to be a witness for the Lord. And he was fulfilling God's specific call to be a witness in the very place, to the very people that God will bring to him in his life. How about for us? Do we have that desire to serve the Lord? Do we have the calling? Do we know where God wants us to be? Are you in that place? Are you doing what God has prepared and equipped you for? But we have to be humble before the Lord. We have to be sensitive to His leading. And we cannot just simply insist, well, this is where I think I should be. As Paul was in Jerusalem, and he could say, well, why move? Why go to the Gentiles? I have the perfect preparation to preach to the Jews, do I not? I was raised a Pharisee. I am so familiar with Jerusalem. I know all of the Sanhedrin council. I once counted them as friends. Should not I be the one to stay in Jerusalem and preach to them? He could have said these things and could have asserted that, you know, Jerusalem at this point of time was the largest church. Of course, in time to come, Jerusalem will weaken because of persecution. But at this point of time, it was the center. It was the center where all the apostles were. And Paul could have said, I want to stay here. Why can't I be here? I am a Pharisee, you know. None of the other apostles, none of them are Pharisees. I am the only Pharisee. Why waste me by going to the Gentile? I mean, he could have cooked up all these things. But that was not what God called him to be. And in fact, he became so much more effective as he went on all those missionary journeys. And the book of Acts had been focusing on his life, spreading the gospel to so many different cities, being such an effective witness for the Lord in so many different places. The Lord called him to where the Lord called him, and he humbly followed. Just as the Lord called Peter to where Peter served at, and Thomas, and Thaddeus, and Judas, and all the other disciples. The Lord had a specific commission for each and every one of them, and they served the Lord faithfully wherever they were called to be. Now, how about for you? You see, if every one of us faithfully fulfill the calling that God has for us, that all of us are witnesses, and all of us will proclaim Christ to the people in our midst. Not all we need is 10 people in our lives. Are there 10 people in your lives? I'm sure they are. Your family, your colleagues, your friends, your classmates. And every single one of us here reaches out to 10 people. And would that not be a powerful witness? We can have quickly, easily, 1,000 people whom the gospel will reach out to. And if each of them then goes on to witness to 10 other people, quickly, very, very quickly, it is an exponential increase, isn't it? 10,000, 100,000, the city of Sydney, the country of Australia, the uttermost parts of the world. And that is exactly what happened in the book of Acts, where the word of God grew and multiplied. Why? Because it was not just the Apostle Paul, but the whole church, every one of them, answered the call to be witnesses. They did not tarry. They obeyed the call of the Lord. And they served the Lord faithfully wherever it is that the Lord has sent them to. And many of them were forced out of Jerusalem because of persecution. And wherever they went, they established churches, they witnessed for the Lord, and the gospel grew. That is how the church has been growing for the past 2,000 years. Will we continue that? Will we realize that we are saved to serve, not just to do our own things, not just to live our own lives? No, that we will go forth and be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why tarriest thou? What are we waiting for? Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for the witness of the Apostle Paul, how he understood his salvation, and he understood this call that the Lord had for him. But Lord, we pray that Thou help each and every one of us also to be faithful, to see that Thou hast called us not just to salvation, but also to service. And wherever it is that, Lord, Thou hast called us to, may You help us to fulfill the calling that Thou hast for us to the best of our abilities, that we will go forth and to be a witness for Thee, to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to show forth Christ in our lives, to our loved ones, our family members, our friends, everyone that we come into contact with, that we can be effective witnesses for Thee, that we can go where Thou hast called us to go, and that we will serve Thee all the days of our lives. We thank Thee in Jesus' most blessed and holy name we pray. Amen.